Welcome to another episode of Spock Sports Show, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. It's a look at everything sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. And now, here's your host, Chris Spock.
Welcome on into another edition of Spock Sports Show here on Buck 92 and podcasting wherever you get your podcasts. A couple weeks ago, we were catching up with our district championship boys. Things have been rolling through the high school playoffs. The Irish boys going all the way to the state finals. Going to catch up a couple of them in the second half of Spock Sports Show. Aiden Halliday, Noah Zine. First half of Spock Sports Show, we're talking with our regional champion Sagard Academy girls basketball team as they take on Frankfort tomorrow night at McBain NMC. It's the 19th of March, if you're listening to this later, in state quarterfinal action. Here's my conversation. Head coach, Andrew Dorr.
Chris Spockman hanging out with Coach Dorr in the basement here at Sacred Heart Academy. Spock Sports Show as he gets prepared tomorrow night, state quarterfinal action versus Frankfort. First of all, Coach, every night, every other night around these parts, there's been a basketball game. What's it been like here at Sacred Heart Academy the last couple weeks?
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks now. The boys started 3 weeks ago. Our district's week and their regional week, and then the last week. I mean, we've been in the gym 4 times a week. You've been in the gym 4 times a week, you know? So a lot of chaos, a lot of tired kids, I can tell, in the mornings too. But you wouldn't have it any other way. The adrenaline, the kids are ready to show up. The boys and girls ready to show up for the games. They're putting in the time. And it's just that energy is, it's contagious, you know? You just wrap around into it. You know, the girls play a game, student section for the boys, play a game, student section for the boys, and it's just, you roll, because 3 weeks later, it's done. You know, you're moving on. This is our last week. The boys are now done. So you want to really try to enjoy it while it does last.
I got a weird question here. As you as a teacher, does it kind of carry over into the classroom as well? Are the kids just kind of like, you know what, let's get focused, let's get this stuff done because we got basketball coming up, or is it a little bit different?
No, unfortunately not. No, especially with spring break next week, our kids are, we can tell they're stretched pretty thin right now. And that's the hard, you know, some of the hard parts with the late games and stuff, but you just got to keep plugging along, do what you can with the kids, and they do their best at the end of the day, but there are some tired kids in the morning.
And you guys did move back things. Was it last Thursday after the game in Houghton Lake? I think you guys started a little later that next day or something
Friday.
Like that.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing you guys were able to do here at Sacred Heart Academy. But yeah, like I said, you wouldn't have it any other way. And let's talk a little bit about Saturday. I imagine you were, actually you sent me a message saying I got a hole. There wasn't anybody within 10 feet of me. I don't know if I scared everybody away at the semifinal game Thursday being so loud, but I had quite a bit of room down there for my broadcast. But what was it like for that environment in particular to have those girls there to be like, hey, this is the show kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Talk about inspiration and motivation, right? I was there. Awesome crowd. I mean, you just absolutely love the crowd for both teams. I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch many of the other games, but I bet we had a pretty good crowd for between all four games.
You know, you saying that, I was, I got, you know, my free lunch. I was eating some chicken strips during the beginning of that Division I game. It was pretty similar. And, you know, you're talking about a couple of really big schools and then, yeah, we got small old Mount Pleasant, and Wyoming's got that following in Grand Rapids or whatever, but there was a whole lot of red, there was a whole lot of blue. It was a special environment.
It was. And the boys, you know, they played their hearts out, and trying to use a good squad, give them a lot of credit.
Well, I've been telling people all weekend long today that Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player of all time, shot 50% for his career, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Wyoming shot 60% in the state title game. The boys put 59 points on the board. If you tell me they're going to do that, I'm going to feel pretty good about things. But Trinity Christian played their best game on the best day to have their best game, I feel like.
They
might have won the Division I, Division II, Division III championship if they played that same game against any team out there. They were that good that day. And I felt bad because the Irish boys were all over them. They didn't play bad defense, but it was just one of those days. And you dream of having that day in that situation. But what an environment it was, just so much fun. But as I said, going off the air with Andy Latham, as I said, you know, this morning on Buck 92, the playoff run is not over because the girls continue. And before we talk about tomorrow night's game, let's go back to last week again, that regional final game last Wednesday versus Breckenridge. Do you think we'll ever be in an environment quite like that again, Andrew?
Hopefully.
Touche, but it was the way it was you guys, it was Breckenridge. Was it 1,200s, the capacity?
Yeah.
We might have been at 1,150
or
something
full.
Like that.
It was full.
It was amazing. Talk about, you know, that environment for you as a coach for girls basketball kind of in general.
Yeah, that was a goal of ours. We set preseason to say, we want to play in a regional final at home. and they were, you know, we came in, we plugged along, got through districts, and then we had, okay, we got Brethren, a new team, you know, we got to go show up, and then we reached that goal. And of course, you know, it's Breckenridge, a team we've seen twice already, and we saw how they traveled on Monday. It's like, okay, ladies, this is why we do this. Both teams played hard. You know, both teams played hard. Our defense was just spectacular, as we said after the game. We really contested a lot of shots. We got strong rebounds. Girls just put a full 32 minutes of basketball together, and to be able to do that at home was even more special. So that's where we're excited for tomorrow night for districts. For quarterfinal, because we played here at districts, so we're comfortable with this gym, seeing it a couple times already.
Yeah, and Frank, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Yeah, the second half, you guys really kind of took over, and I imagine you just felt really good, really amazing about how your team's playing when they went away from their 3-2 zone, which is something they really, when you saw them go away from that, when they really had to chase you guys around, because you had that double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, was that kind of when you said, I think we got them?
Yeah, it was, when I saw them go man, I was like, okay, we've got enough man stuff to, and ball handlers to be able to handle the pressure, and it frees up space for our girls to attack, and that's when we were able to get, I think we shot 6 for 9 in the fourth quarter. And they were all layups. So that's going to lead to a lot of success down the road.
Yep. And Mr. Williger, Karis Tuerger, which you have 18 again. She just continues. Every time I watch her, she does something else just a little bit more amazing. And I'll go back to the Brethren game. There was 3 or 4 times where they just went to make a quote-unquote normal pass, but I don't think they'd seen the speed that she brings to the table. So, whoop, steals, layup. But just how much speed, how much athleticism she brings to the table is just crazy. But it kind of got contributions all the way around, and she keeps putting up, you know, these numbers. But I'm waiting for there to be one game where she has 4, because you got 6-7 other girls that can put up 10-12 if they need to as well.
We do, yeah. She's definitely, I mean, she's averaging 22 a game, I think, in the playoffs so far. But to say that, there has been other girls, you know, she takes a lot of stress off the other girls as well, and they haven't had to. We haven't shot the ball from behind the arc real well in the playoffs, so we're still looking for that. Our inside the paint numbers have been fantastic, so that has been a focus for us. But she's got help, you know, and we've talked about that at practice, because we don't know what we're going to see this week defensively. And it's like, Karis, you got to just understand, it's not always going to be as easy, especially next year. Things are going to be very different for you when everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, people probably still come at your game thinking, oh, there's this Hout girl, there's this McDonald girl, we got to focus on them. And then, oh, no, another Terwilliger. And then you see what she starts to do. You met Hout, McDonald. They've had some looks very similar to the boys, like in the state semifinal. They had the looks, did knock them all down, but you need them to keep taking those shots. And eventually, they're going to have a game where one of them hits 4 or 5 threes, and that's going to carry you guys to a victory.
Yeah, that was it was something that we wanted to do all summer, was develop more shooters. And there's times where we have all 5 girls on the court that are ready to take the 3. And that's just where the game has evolved, you know, in high school and college basketball, that is the game nowadays. So, and that's going to be something we continue to focus on, because that you see a lot of zones at Division 4, and if you have some outside shooting, it helps you out quite a bit. Yep. So,
you know, and I think sometimes too, people think that, you know, well, I'm not a great shooter. If you're open, sometimes it's still a good shot to take it, because it's just going to make the even if you miss that shot, if you shoot it, the defense is going to remember you shooting that shot. They're going to be a little bit more focused on you next time. And now Frankfort, let's move on to that. I would call this a playoff rival. You know, you go back 15 years, there's been 3-4 times where you guys have matched up against Frankfort, and I think it's usually the Breslin Center that's on the line when you guys match up with them. It's the regional final. It's the state quarterfinal. Last time I remember was several years ago. It was up in Traverse City. And I think Kurt Wilson was still calling the games when we went up there. I think that might have been Avery Gamble's junior year up there when they fell to Frankfort. But I think they had a girl that went on to play at Central Michigan University at Frankfort. So they're a powerhouse program up there in that northern Pinky area.
They are. I was a little deep dive on Frankfort today on the MHSAA website. And we played them in 17. That was Avery was graduated, but then we lost to him in 15, which
must be the year that I'm thinking of there.
Yeah. But I think we saw him in 14 and 13 as well. So yes, we've seen this team quite a few times over the last decade or so.
And is it still the same coach? The guy was the football coach up there. Yep. So that he brings that football mentality. It's going to be very physical of play, but you talk about the ball handlers that you got. I imagine they're still going to try to go full court man to man. And so that could kind of play into your hands a little bit in this one, and knocking on the, you know, the plastic wood desk here or whatever.
Yeah. No, we are expecting pressure. You know, that's what we've seen a lot of that in film. They play various defenses. I've seen zone and man defenses from them, I think, depending on what they want to do. And they're well coached. They're balanced. They got size, which was something we're going to have to combat. And they've got guard play. But I think you're probably looking at mirror image teams here. We're very similar styles. It's just going to be who can get free for those open shots and who can knock them down.
Yep, and on the other side of the bracket, quote-unquote, we feel like everybody's kind of looking at Fowler. And if I go back, was it 2 years ago when you guys fell to Fowler? Was that in the districts or the regionals?
Regional, 2 or 3 years ago, right. Yeah.
And they had a pair of sisters. Mm-hmm. I think the younger one's a senior this year. And, you look at some of the scores they've been putting up in the playoffs for Division IV. It almost reminds me a little bit of Wyoming Triuni Christian with the boys.
Yeah, Fowler's on the other side with Ishpeming, and Ishpeming looks really solid as well. With Kingston and I think Morenci is on our side of the bracket. So I haven't done too much scouting ahead of time.
You got to focus on Frankfurt, baby.
Yeah.
But that's
just
one of those. I looked ahead and I saw some of those scores and I says, man, I can remember 2 or 3 years ago. And I can remember in particular the one girl getting called for a travel. And it was one of those, I don't think it was a travel. I just think it was something you don't really ever see in girl. And I remember Damon kind of looking over at the Frankfurt coach and kind of giving him a wee, you know, kind of a thing. And I remember thinking, that's how you know these girls are really good when Damon's just kind of like,
yeah, it's pretty good. They beat us pretty badly a couple years ago. They were really, I think that was the year they won the state title.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
So, great program.
Yeah, but hey, hopefully you get a chance to match up against them because that would be, this coming Saturday. But state quarterfinals to get through first. Frankfurt, it's going to be a big-time game tomorrow night. I hope you're listening if you can't make it to McBain NMC. But when those girls see all the red in the stands, how much does that, how many points is that worth, do you think?
I think it's worth energy on the defensive end, and however that contributes to points, whether you're getting steals and layups and so forth, it's kind of hard to calculate. But I think it allows us to have the endless energy that you have to have in this time of year. Because even when it comes fourth quarter and you're exhausted, you got to dig deep. And when you've got the crowd and the chants and the red and the white and all that sort of stuff, that really allows us to push through. So we need those fans. Come on out.
Yep, I'm going to say it's worth 10 points.
There you go.
So Coach Dorr, thanks so much for catching up with me, man. Hopefully we'll be catching up with you a little bit later this week as well.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
Another big thank you to Coach Dorr taking some time to chat with me. It's time for a break here on Spock Sports Show. Back with more right after this. And we are brought to you by Barbary Law. From every case they take personally.
If you've got legal questions and you don't know what to do, my attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Hi, this is Joe Barbary. Here's a motor vehicle accident tip. If you've been injured in an auto accident, you don't have to go to Detroit to get the best legal team to represent you. Myself and my staff have been doing auto accidents in the Central Michigan area for over 30 years. Most people I know don't want to drive 150 miles to meet with somebody that they've never met before. If you retain us at Barbary Law, you'll meet with an attorney face-to-face and you'll be minutes away from doing so. So keep that in mind. If you're injured or, God forbid, a loved one is injured or killed in a motor vehicle accident, contact Barbary Law and we'll take care of you.
Welcome back to Spock Sports Show here on Buck 92 and podcasting wherever you get your podcasts. If you missed my conversation with Coach Dorr, just go look up Spock Sports Show wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be able to check it out. Here's my conversation with Noah Zion, Aiden Halliday, and we're joined kind of midway through by Andy Latham, the athletic director from Sacred Heart Academy, and two of the stars from the Sacred Heart Academy boys basketball team on that run all the way to the state finals.
Chris Bachman now hanging out with the boys, I guess I'll say, Aiden Halliday, Noah Zhang. First of all, guys, at the state finals, Thursday and Saturday, what was it like to play in that environment?
I'll go first. It was a lot of fun. Community was there behind our back supporting us. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win. They kind of had us that night. I think maybe if we played them again, it could have been a different story, but it was a lot of fun and something we'll never forget.
Yeah, so. 60% from the field. I'll continue to say that for a long time when people ask about that game. I don't think there's a whole lot of people beating Triunity that day, but Noah, playing in that environment, man.
Playing in that environment, I mean, I've watched a lot of MSU games, and I've always been a fan, and to play on that court, it's just a crazy opportunity to have, and with the whole community there, it's an incredible thing to, an incredible environment to play in.
Yeah. I had Brody and Bogue with me after the game of the semifinal. Yeah, Aiden actually got Bogue on a headset for a quick second there.
I couldn't believe that when I saw the pictures. Yeah, I was like, no way.
It wasn't for very long, and I continue to shout out John Ross, because you guys always got to go right off to the press conference, but I was a little superstitious and said, I've talked to a couple kids after every game for this playoff run, man, and so he brought those guys over, and I said, what was it like to play here in this environment? I just remember seeing their faces. They weren't looking at me. They just, I think, were kind of in awe at the sea of red that was up behind me. And so that Thursday game, you know, I had the crowd right behind me for the sound and everything. That is one of those games that I'll never absolutely forget. Let's talk a little bit about that win versus Allen Park Inner City Baptist. Did you got? I don't even want to use the word easy, but going into that game, did you ever expect they'd only score 33 points, Aiden?
Well, no, because I was ready for Ethan Essie to, I mean, at least drop 20. I mean, he was averaging, like, I think 25 on the season. So Grady did an absolute job on him. I think held him to, like, maybe four points.
Two late free throws as well. So he had
one for 15, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't really ready for that defensive performance, but because, I mean, he already had some good ones against Duvall and Benji. So, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. We had a rough little patch there in the second quarter, but then we found our game offensively in the second half. So
yeah, no, talk about that game a little bit for yourself. And say, yeah, you just played fantastic in that one, man.
Yeah, we weren't really hitting our shots in the first half, but our defense was pretty good. And in that second half, I feel like our offense started to pick up, and it's hard to play with us when we're making our shots.
Yep, and then the final Saturday morning, what do you guys remember about, talk about the beginning of that game, the pageantry and kind of all that stuff. What was that like to experience that?
Well, we had the day before, we spent the night in a hotel as a team, so that was a lot of fun. Those are the kind of memories.
So you guys got to stay down there?
Yeah, we stayed down the night before. Those are the kind of memories that you'll never forget and you'll take with you. So that was a lot of fun. Woke up, had breakfast, headed over the van, or the Breslin.
I don't know why I want to ask, but what'd you have for breakfast the day of the game?
I think we had omelet, some mushy potatoes, and whatever they were serving. Yeah. Not great, but not horrible. And it was cool walking in there. All the media was already there and stuff, so we had a lot of time to shoot, so that was just cool to kind of soak it all in. And then after we went back in, came back out, and the place was packed with red and blue, and that was a lot of cool. Oh, fun.
But you know,
it almost felt like an AAU tournament because you just wake up early in the morning, and I've never played a high school game at 10 a.m. So yeah, I woke up and then I ate the continental breakfast. I actually woke up and the only person eating breakfast was Coach Green, and I was super confused. But yeah, and then we went over to the Breslin, which is incredible. And for the state championship game, we had more time to warm up, and I think that really helped.
What was it like being in that gym early in the morning, just kind of empty like that? For, you know, I imagine you guys, like I said, you know, you grow up watching MSU basketball. No, it was like being in that arena empty.
Before I started warming up, I just like looked around and I was like, wow, this place is huge. And I just tried to soak it in when I could, because during the game, we got to lock in, and it's an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I didn't even really think it was that empty when we, I mean, right, you walk down through the tunnel, through the security and everything that they got down there. So, I mean, there was still a lot of people, it felt like, with, like I said, all the media and stuff, all the cameras were already on you right away. Like they were, the camera was on him warming up. So, I mean, they were already.
Yeah, the ball almost hit him.
Really?
So, it was stuff I'll never forget.
What was that like, kind of having somebody watch you and kind of videotape you warming up, knowing you know it's going to be used like later for some like B-roll footage or something like that?
I was just hoping my shot didn't look like trash right in the camera in front of my face. That's all I was really thinking about. I didn't think they'd use it. And then I saw on Twitter the other day just a video of me warming up my shot. And right. I was like, whoa.
They used it.
Yeah.
Was it a little bit like having a defender in your face?
A little bit.
He was pretty close to him, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he was right there. And my misses almost hit him.
They didn't get any video of you shooting the Chubbards warming up?
No, I'm glad they didn't, because that thing broke. So,
and now we got Andy Latham, the AD, here with us. So we're kind of talking about these guys being able to go out there in the, you know, in the morning when, you know, it was kind of empty there at the Breslin Center. What time did you get there? Or did he stay in the hotel with you guys as well? Oh, no.
No,
Chris. Thanks for having me. I slept in my own bed. I slept real good. Woke up early, and we shot down there. But I was telling Aiden this morning how nerve-wracking that would be for me as an 18-year-old kid out there playing, and I'm so proud of these boys.
Yep, and for you to see the way the community came out, not only Thursday, but on Saturday morning as well. Like I said, they were just kind of talking about it as well. Coach Dora and I were talking about, got to make sure a bunch of people come up to McBain tomorrow night for that game. If you can't come, we want you to listen to this guy as well, but we
Absolutely.
Also want you to be there for the support. What was it like to see that much red at the Breslin Center?
I know our community is very, very supportive. And I sat down close to the court, and when I turned around, it was a sea of red, and it was absolutely phenomenal. I couldn't believe it.
Yep. And now I'm going to kind of open and do a weird thing here. Do you got anything you want to say to these guys, or any questions you want to ask these guys about the games on Thursday or Saturday?
Well, one thing I do want to say to these young men is all season long, they built such a positive culture, you know, a great team culture, the camaraderie they showed with one another. And like I told you offline, what a great bunch of kids. I don't have anything specifically to ask them, but just acknowledge what a great group they are.
Now, for you, Noah, in particular, what moment, what part of one game, you know, whether it was the state semifinal or the state final, like what moment of the game is going to stand out to you in particular, those moments?
There was one play. I had a horrible turnover. I was trying to throw the ball to Brody, and I threw it straight at Wiggy on the bench and almost hit him in the head. And then Aiden yelled at me, like, what are you doing? And, like, stay poised. And I'm like, I'm not going to have that next year. Next year, we're going to have to find some other leadership, because it's hard to do that as a teammate, to yell at your other teammate, but it's really important to be in a successful program, and I think we're going to miss that next year, and that's what I was thinking at that moment.
Yeah, he was holding you accountable.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think about when he says that, Aiden?
Yeah, it was a careless turnover. When we were only down by 14, I was like, we still got a shot, man. And, I mean, it's kind of hard when you're already down 14, though, headed in the fourth quarter. You know, you just start shooting shots, hoping they fall. Unfortunately, they didn't, but it was great playing with this kid. A lot of fun. The dude's a hooper. I don't know how you guard him. I don't know how you guard all three of them, and then now three of them are seniors.
All coming back.
Yeah, and then you got this youngin. He'll be here two more years. Be balling, setting some records, so it'll be fun to watch. Hopefully watching in the Breslin again.
Yeah, was there a moment, one of the games or anything that kind of stands out to you?
Oh, yeah, probably the semifinal game. We obviously couldn't score. It was 12-12 for a while. We had Noah came down and hit a three. Usually he does that a lot, or he'll go get a jumper for us whenever we can't get a bucket. I'll look at him and say, Noah, we need one. And usually he goes and does that. And then that usually turns our games around right then.
All right, and so I kind of asked you the shooting question earlier this year, you know, when it came to Cherry, Noah, and, you know, you said, you know, Noah's been doing it. So now I'm going to switch it to make you even tougher. You got one shot, Luke Preetam or Noah Zion?
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry, Noah. I'm having to give him a Preetam, man. He was nasty.
Yeah. Didn't he have, like, isn't he, like, in the state record for, like, three-point percentage?
I know he has the all-time record for free throw percentage here at Sacred Heart Academy. I look at that, and, yeah, do you know if he's in the record books?
I don't know that, but I know the kid could shoot.
He shot
64% in the postseason run, I'm pretty sure it was, from the three-point
line. And that was, a lot of those were contested, too.
So, and that's with not shots going in that Detroit-Douglas game, so.
Yeah, but that's him as a freshman playing with a senior, though, you know what I mean? You still got two more years or whatever to kind of catch him or whatever. And yeah, as far as records being set, I mean, this guy, like I said, I think you might end up being right up there, you know, with the Nelsons and, you know, some of those folks up there in the end, Noah. And so what a great run for you guys. I'm going to make you go one more moment here. Overall playoff moment, you know, is there some that sticks out to you, Noah? And I imagine for you, it's got to be that 22-point game, Aiden, right?
Yeah, obviously that was cool. A very fun scoring, 22 points. That was a big win for us. But honestly, the quarterfinal game felt great. Securing the ticket to the Breslin was something that I had thought about making it there after Van Andel my freshman year, because I remember Zach, he was like, dude, just to let you know, man, it's hard to go back. So I was like, I'm going to go back, though. I mean, we got some people coming up, and to be able to see him after that game and say I made it, it was a really good feeling.
No.
I can't think of, like, a particular moment, but definitely during that Novell game, in that third quarter, we started pulling away, and I'm like, if we win this game, we can make it pretty far. And then our next two games went by. I was like, okay, we can win. And then I was all worried about our semifinal game, because I watched the film for that lefty kid. What was his name?
Ethan Essie.
He looked nasty on film, but Grady did an absolute job. And then we got to play in the state championship, which is...
Yeah, I think for me, the moment that stands out is that second, you know, that third quarter run you guys had against Saginaw Novell. I feel like you guys just came out and played your absolute best basketball, and you shutting down Donnie Yeager, I guess, you know, just as important as, you know, what Grady did in that game, because I think he ended up with five, and one of them was a buzzer beater at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah,
so
We were stoked about that Novell game. We talked about it after. We were like, that Novell game felt like a bigger win than the regional championship game, just because we weren't super satisfied with how we played. And I'm glad that we got to go get more opportunities to show what we could do. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Andy, you're still here with us. You know, is there a particular game, particular moment that stands out for you on the playoff run?
Well, Noah took my line. I'm going to agree with him. Maybe not the second half, but just that whole game, that defensive performance, I thought to myself, if these boys play defense like this, we're tough. And they were.
Yeah, that first half was one of the craziest, most competitive first halves I've ever seen. Like, there was, you know, I said in one of those pregames, 11-12 lead changes, 8-9 ties in the first half, and I don't think I was exaggerating. Every basket either tied the game or put somebody ahead. It was just insane. And then the second half, you guys were just like, nah, we're done toying with you. We're gonna kind of put it on you guys now. So thank you guys so much for joining me. But the girls, they still got a little bit of run to make. You guys going to be up there in McBain tomorrow night to root them on?
Hopefully we get to put up a banner together on the same night. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty really cool. Awesome. I think that's a perfect way to end it. Aiden, Noah, Andy, thank you guys so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Another big, big thank you to those guys taking some time to chat with me. Another big, big thank you to you for listening to another edition of Spock Sports Show presented by Barbary Law Firm. Every case they take personally. Be back with you soon with another Spock Sports Show here on Buck 92 and MyMichiganPodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to Spock Sports Show with Chris Spockman, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. The views and opinions heard on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Latitude Media, our sponsors, affiliates, and My104.3 or Buck 92 Radio. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to MyMichiganPodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.